Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Our drought continues. What's been the impact on our corn and beans? Let's go in depth with Leslie Miller, ag banker with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. So, Leslie, I'm seeing a lot of dry corn and soybean out there.
Yeah, over the weekend, it was especially evident the poorer, thinner soils. As you drive around, lots of dead corn out there, you know, scattered on those thinner soils. And the soybeans with the cooler temperatures aren't wilting as bad, but certainly last week, as you were out and about, you could see the tops of the beans wilting, dying. It's been a dry summer.
Well, and is the corn dead? A lot of that corn is dead. It's not just turning like it's supposed to in August, September.
No, a lot of it is dead. It's, again, on the thinner soils. If you drive around in some of the earlier planted fields, you'll see that that corn is fired on the outside rows. You know, it's turning brown from the ground up. But if you go into the field, you don't see that firing to that extent. And there, where it's actually drying out, it's drying out kind of from the top down. We've had some people pull yields on that earlier corn, and I think it surprises us what it has the potential to do. Granted, it kind of depends on how it finishes out. If we don't have rain, it's going to finish out very quickly. And usually when that happens, you have a lighter test weight. Last week I was looking at some information from Purdue Extension, where they were talking about if corn dies, if it physically dies, the plant dies when it's in the dent stage. That means when the kernel started to dent in on the cob, you'll lose 12% of the yield. That's probably going to happen. Now, on the later planted corn, where it's not dented yet, some of that's in the dough stage, and it's, again, that Purdue data that I was talking about, it shows you could have up to 40% yield loss with corn that physically dies when it's in that stage. So I think we've got a lot of questions out there, and people, really, your farmers won't know the answers until they're out in the field. But generally, on the earlier planted corn, I think we're surprised with what we're seeing. The later planted corn and the corn on the thinner soils, we're very worried about that corn.
And so that explains why when I'm driving down the road, I can see one field that looks pretty bad, but then I drive another 100 feet and I see another field that doesn't look so bad. It's the differences in planting times, maybe?
That and the differences in soil type, yes.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about the drought in our crops with Leslie Miller, ag banker with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. So when was it best to plant? In retrospect, it was better to plant late this year?
No, it was better to plant early.
Better to plant early.
We actually have people that started planting before it snowed. Remember, it snowed, mm-hmm. I believe it was like May 2nd of this year. And the agronomists were actually out telling people not to plant ahead of the snow. They felt in laboratory conditions, they were citing research that showed that the seed and the corn plants were damaged somewhat when they were subjected to cold water, you know, when they were first put in the ground. So some farmers waited. The farmers that did not wait, you know, that basically said to themselves, they can't grow in the bag, I'm going to go ahead and plant it anyways, they got that corn in early, and that's the corn that looks the best right now and has the best potential because it's older, so it's closer to that dent stage. Plus, it had more moisture all along at different stages of maturity than what that later planted corn has had. So that's the corn with the best potential, is that earliest planted corn, I believe, in most areas.
How about the soybeans? The other day I was driving around and I thought, boy, those soybeans are turning early, and then I realized maybe they're not making it.
Well, there are some group 2 beans, which are very early maturing beans, around, and I've noticed, too, there's fields where there's lots of yellow turning leaves early on. there's a sudden death syndrome that beans have where, again, on lighter soils, you'll see the leaves start to show yellow before the rest of the field. And so you think that, you know, first when we saw that happening back in July, we're thinking, oh, you know, they're stressing out. It's the lighter soils again. But we realize as we've kept gone on and on and on with no rain that, you know, those plants are just under stress from not having enough moisture. And we've seen some fields, again, with the lighter soils, and the beans just do not look good. To me, it's amazing how much grain there is left in the soybean fields when you look at how little moisture they've had. And it's very hard to assess what the damage actually is. There's a point in time where the soybean plants, they've gone ahead and they've set pods. First they'll start aborting the number of beans in the pods. So, you know, we probably have a lot of two bean pods out there instead of three. If it continues dry, they start aborting the pods themselves, just in an effort to survive and produce some seed. They kind of shut themselves down in stages. And depending, again, on the type of soil and some of the, you know, what portion of spotty rain you've had makes a huge difference in how those plants look right now. But the hot temperatures of last week just really were very hard for them to cope with.
And August is when the beans really need some water, isn't it?
Yeah. This is the first August that I can remember that we have not had some rain that saved the beans or came close to saving the beans. Can't ever remember it not raining in August. And not that I'm that old, but I think I've seen enough August that in my mind, it made me start wondering, when did we last have a really dry August? And I went back and I pulled what data I could. Iowa has a climate summary website that you can pull data for the state as well as for, like, each area of the state. And when I went back and looked at that, the only years that were kind of like this year, like 1947, it was very dry in June, July, and August, just like it was this year. And again, in 1947, we know from Elwin Taylor's talking that was a very, very hot year. 1953 was not so hot temperature-wise. So I was able to actually track down corn yields. And if you looked at corn yields in 1947 and then looked at, like, the year before and the year after, the yields were half of what they were the year before and the year after. Now, granted, we have way different genetics than we did back then. But to me, it was an indication of the dryness and the temperature effect. When I went to 1953, the yields were not off that much on the corn. There was a 5 to 10 bushel difference between the year before and the year after on that 1953 corn. So I thought, well, if this year is more like 1953 with cooler temperatures or better temperatures, if you will, and dry weather, maybe the corn crop truly isn't hurt quite as badly as we think it is. Maybe, you know, we're not going to have an average crop. You know, I don't want you to think that, but we'll certainly have a better crop than we had last year. On beans, you know, in the 40s and 50s, people put beans up for hay, so we don't know. We can't go back and look at that and guess at all. If you look at Iowa State's information and look at the different counties, most of them will have the lowest bean yield years would be 2003 or 2012. So, and looking at those years, looks like 24 to 30 bushel around the state were kind of where the lowest yields were on beans. So that makes me think, well, maybe we could have 24 bushel beans. However, I can go back to 1983 and remember a very, very dry summer where we had spider mites kick in. And at that point in time, people that treated the spider mites, they had about 25 bushel beans. People that didn't treat for spider mites had 15 bushel beans. So, you know, there's a lot of dangers that soybean crop could face. And I haven't heard of anybody in the local area scouting for spider mites. I know that there were some people on Twitter talking about spider mites in Illinois. I think we're at the point in time where farmers, you know, if they haven't been out kind of looking to see what's going on, they need to do that It's questionable on whether it pays to spray for them or not. You know, if you talk to the Extension Service, they have all sorts of guidelines that would help farmers make good decisions on whether they'd want to do that or not. But we just have a lot of variables on the soybean crop. And so while we might feel better about where the corn could be compared to last year, we don't feel that way about the beans at all.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the drought in our crops with Leslie Miller, ag banker with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville.
I guess I was surprised by this summer. I mean, we came in with a wet spring. Everything was looking great. I thought, naively, I guess, that we'd put the drought behind us, but here we are again.
Here we are again is the best way to sum it up. You know, and it's difficult. The farmers out there, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, they thought there was a prospect for 45, 50 bushel beans, and to just watch them wither and die over the last 3 or 4 weeks has been very difficult for them. And so I do hope we at least get half a crop. And thank goodness, you know, we have some crop insurance that'll help these people. But we do need some rain, and we definitely want to have some rain come before next spring, because we're going to have to recharge those soils for next year's crop.
Well, and will rain help the soybeans and the corn yet this year, or does it matter?
On the corn plants, they're still alive. Rain now would allow it to mature more slowly. The plants, or the corn that was planted later, it might actually benefit from having a little bigger kernel size if it would rain right now and rain like 3 inches. The soybeans, I don't know. It's just not been a period of time where it's gone this long without rain. I did talk to one farmer here a few days ago that commented on his dad had farmed in the 40s and said in 1947 it finally rained September 15th. Well, if we have to wait for September 15th for it to rain, it can't do any good for the beans. It just would be way too late, I would think. But we don't know, because we haven't really push the beans, and we don't know. There's a point where the plant physiologically shuts down and matures, and it shouldn't be able to increase. It can't increase the number of beans in the pod once it aborts them. Obviously, it can't put pods back on that have been aborted. But we just don't know what will happen to the size of the beans that are left in those pods. I do know some years where it's rained late, the actual pod itself has matured to where it can expand, but the beans will continue to pick up size a little bit, and it causes the pods to shatter. They're very difficult to combine because the pods become very, very fragile in relation to the size of the beans in those pods. But again, I can't tell you. I'm not an agronomist. I can't tell you when that final drop-dead date for the beans is. You know, if it rained tomorrow, it would still be too late for some of them. It might not be for others.
Well, I think it was Saturday morning. I woke up. It was before dawn. I think I felt the thunder, saw the lightning or something, and I went outside, and everything was wet. And it was wonderful, wonderful feeling, that moisture in the air, but then it was just gone. It didn't turn into much. It was the promise of rain, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Two tenths, you know, and that's not enough to really do us any good. I am surprised at how good the pastures and hay have done with the dew that we've had. But, again, they're running out of moisture, and we just flat out need rain, as everybody would agree.
We're not thinking completely about this year yet. You're talking rain for next year.
I'm talking rain needed to keep what pasture growth out there we can, so that we don't have to start feeding hay too early. Rain might do the very latest beans some good, we don't know, but then rain especially for going into next year. Because remember how we came into this year with very, very dry soils and we're very concerned, and we had a miraculous amount of rain that recharged those soils. I hate to be a pessimist, but I would worry about having that miraculous rain 2 years in a row. So I would like to see some rain and accumulate some moisture in the subsoil once again. There are some ponds drying out. People have been hauling water, so we need rain for that, too.
Any good news on the horizon? I mean, are prices good?
Or? I do sound like a pessimist. Actually, the lack of rain has kept the dive in the corn price from being as bad as it could be. There was a point where corn had gone below $4. New price corn had gone below $4 at the local co-op. And it's now back to $4.27. But, and the beans have rallied back tremendously. Earlier today we had, I think it was about a 43-cent rise in soybean prices, and now it's about 30 cents. But the prices are coming up because the traders are very concerned about what our yield potential might be. So the good news is our prices are better than they were, but then again, we aren't going to have a lot of bushels to sell.
Thanks to Leslie Miller for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.